Right, good evening, everybody. There is a saying in the world that appearances can be deceptive. And so I definitely decided tonight I'd come in summer outfit rather than me suit and confuse you all. Would you like to put up the scripture for me, Janet, please? We're looking at John chapter 15, verses 9 to 16. Would somebody like to read it for me?
As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You do not choose me, but I choose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you.
Thank you, Gemma. One of the deepest of human needs is also the one thing above all others that's missing in modern life. The need is so basic and so important that at least one website is devoted to it, and one of the most popular TV programs in entertainment history is named after it. Can anybody tell me what it is? Friendship. The basic human need is friendship. And I must admit, to the best of my knowledge, I have not watched the TV program Friends, but I do know that it was avidly watched by millions of people on both sides of the Atlantic. In this modern world, it's possible to do all your banking, pay all your bills, communicate with your colleagues, and find the latest news all by means of the internet. Our modern lifestyle, with its easy transport and global industry, means that we no longer even have to leave the house to do our shopping. Everything we need can be ordered and can be delivered, often the very next day, without ever leaving our home. It's no longer necessary to meet people to do the lot of normal things in life. And the result is that the world is full of lonely people. Those who have very little close contact with anybody outside of work or of the house. But that is not how we were intended to live. At the very beginning, when God created mankind, we read, "The Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Genesis 2, verse 18. In my long and distant youth, Barbra Streisand sang a song in which she said, "People need people." And how true that is, for we all need contact with other people. But in this day and age, it's getting very difficult to make or to find friends. That's probably why it always thrills me when I read this evening's scripture, because it opens up the possibility of me being a friend of God. Because the one thing above all others that afflicts modern society is that so many people are lonely. And one reason is probably because that the traditional extended family of grandparents, parents and children, all living for the most part close to one another, no longer exists. We may have many people around us, but in general, they are all acquaintances, but not really friends. And that's why so many people are lonely. But here, in this evening's text, Jesus is saying to his disciples that he calls them his friends. They're not just work colleagues who accompanied him on his business around Israel. They're his friends. And if we're his followers, he wants each one of us to be his friend too. And when we hear this, our first reaction might be to protest that sinful mortal man doesn't deserve to be in the same universe as God, never mind have a relationship with him. But that's not how God sees it. For in the Bible, it gives us quite a few examples of those who had a relationship of friendship with God. Looking for some of these, my first one that came to mind was Abraham. 4 times in the Bible, we're specifically told that Abraham was the friend of God. A simple man who was so full of faith in God that he did everything God required of him. And he came to enjoy such an intimate relationship with God that he's called the friend of God. And although they're not specifically called friend of God, we see others who shared a very close relationship with God. There's Enoch. In Genesis 5 verse 22 we read that Enoch walked with God and then he was no more because God took him away. And to me this description, walked with God, implies a very close relationship between God and Enoch. A relationship of friendship. Then we have King David, who's described as a man after God's own heart. And again, this implies a very close relationship. So, what is a good friend? Well, the dictionary definition of a friend is a person you know well and regard with affection and trust, an associate who provides assistance, a person with whom you are acquainted. So if I asked you, what is a friend? You might say that a friend is someone who really cares for you, someone you can talk to about anything, a good person you can trust with something private and you know it won't go any further. You can be yourself with a friend, you don't have to be on your guard. A good friend is faithful and dependable, someone who sticks up for you. A friend is someone you can call on any time to give you a hand. He's a person who will do anything for you. There's a special bond between friends. You're comfortable in each other's company and prepared to help one another out when needed. And in our text this evening, we see that Jesus has something to say about friends. On the night he was betrayed, that night before his cruel suffering and death, he's talking to his disciples about his own love for them. Though he's about to leave them, he loves them. And he starts to explain his love for them when he says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." I don't think that any of us could doubt the love that the Father had for his Son. It's one of those unquestionable truths that we know. Jesus places his love for us on that same category as the Father's love for him. We are to be as confident of the one as we are of the other. The Father loves the Son with unbounded, limitless love. And just as surely does Jesus love us who are his. Just as the Father loved him who are the most worthy, he loved them who were the most unworthy. The Father loved him as his Son, and Jesus loves us as his children. The Father gives all things into his hands, so he freely gives all things to us. So how does he show that love? He chose us in love. The reason for his choice was love. Do you know what God said to Israel in Deuteronomy 7? I'll tell you. He said to the people of Israel, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than the other people, for you were the fewest of the people. But it was because the Lord loved you. And he loved you because he loved you." Jesus loves us because he is love. Jesus loved us before the world began. He loved us in order that he might demonstrate his love to us. He loved us in order that we might be conformed into his image, that we might be firstborn among many brothers, that we might share his nature and his character and his Father's love, and so draw nearer and nearer to him in ever-growing fellowship of love. He showed that love in that he died because of love. As the Bible tells us, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that laying down of life in our Lord's case was special proof of his love, because he died voluntarily. It was not necessary for him, as it is for us, to die. All men are destined to live but once and then to die. Other men, if they died for us, would just be going a little bit before their time. But Jesus didn't need to die, for he is immortal. He died in the midst of pain and shame and desertion, which made that death particularly bitter. The death on the cross is to us the highest proof of our Saviour's intimate love to us. He had to die the death of a criminal between two thieves, utterly friendless, the object of great ridicule and scorn, and this he had to do as he bore our sins in his own body. Shouldn't this make us cry out, "Behold how he loved us"? He laid down his life, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says that God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Or as John Calvin so clearly put it, those hearts must be harder than iron or stone which are not softened by such incomparable sweetness of divine love. But in our text this evening, Jesus shows the extent of his love for us. He says, "You are my friends." He says, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I learnt from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." Jesus did not sacrifice himself just out of a sense of duty. He didn't go to the cross in reluctant obedience to his Father. He went because he loves us. Each one of us who is a follower of Christ is a friend of Christ, and he's pleased to call and count us as friends. We who deserve to be his servants are considered by Christ to be his friends. And Jesus takes all believers to be his friends. He visits them and he talks with them as his friends. He encourages them, he suffers with them in their suffering, and he takes pleasure in their prosperity, and he pleads for them in heaven. Though they often show themselves unfriendly, he is a friend that loves at all times. Jesus can be that kind of friend to each one of us. All the good things that you can say about your friend, you could say about Jesus, and more. He's a true friend in every sense of the word. Jesus promised, "I will be with you always," and that means through all the ups and downs that will happen throughout your life. He'll be there as your helper and supporter, using his power and might to help you stand up to everything that might come your way. Jesus promised that even though you'll be tempted to ignore God and forget about worship and reading the scriptures, he'll never ignore or forget about you. He sticks by his promise to care for you as his dearly loved friend. He's faithful and dependable. He is a true friend. He's the most perfect friend that you could ever wish for. He cares for us so much and loves us to such an extent that he died for you and me. Just think of that. He died in our place. Jesus gave his life so that we might live now and forever. Now, we all know very well that a friendship that is only one way is doomed to failure. If you're friends with a person but he or she isn't a friend to you, that makes your friendship very unsure. But when you come to appreciate what kind of a friend Jesus is, you want to express your friendship to him. You want to be a trustworthy and faithful friend to Jesus. So, what's involved in this friendship? Well, much the same as in any other friendship. Getting to know your friend through listening to what he has to say through the Bible. Talking to your friend through prayer. Letting him know your most private concerns. Appreciating what your friend does for you. Giving him your thanks and praise. Getting together with your friend, with your friend's other friends, all those people sitting around you, wherever you can. And what is more, friends do things together. They like to do the same things. As Jesus' friend, it's our joy to love one another and adopt his attitude and care and serve one another. There could be no doubt about what your friend Jesus has done and is doing for you. His love for you and his commitment to you is unquestionable. But what about your commitment to your friendship with him? If we are really honest, most of us realise that on so many occasions we've not been a very good friend of Jesus. We realise that even though we said that we would be a committed friend of Jesus, we haven't really done it all that well. We've been lazy spending time with God in prayer. We've hurt our friend by the things we've said to others and the things that we've done that have harmed both others and ourselves, and probably a great deal more. But like any friendship, which has its ups and downs, there is always room for saying sorry, forgiveness, for working on your problems. And that's the basic to a loving relationship between you and the Saviour Jesus, who is always our loving friend. When he says, "You are my friend," he also means he won't give up on us even though we disappoint him so much when we disobey him and turn away from him. He never stops loving us and being concerned for us. But some of us may think that we don't yet have that relationship with Jesus as our friend. Maybe we know about Jesus and we think he's a good man, and maybe we'd like to hear stories about him, but we couldn't honestly say that Jesus is our friend. Well, if that's the case, you can change that even this evening. All you have to do is to ask him to be your friend, and he will be. And of course, you know that sometimes you've done things that would really upset Jesus, and sometimes you think that you're not the sort of person that Jesus would want as a friend. Well, that's okay anyway. No matter what you think, Jesus still loves you, and he really does want you as his friend. So why not say sorry for all the things you've done wrong and ask Jesus to help you start again? You could even ask somebody to pray with you. And if you do that, Jesus will welcome you with open arms. I'll be delighted to call you his friend. So what are you waiting for? He's issuing a personal invitation to everyone here, saying, "Will you be my friend?" And as we sing our final hymn, reflect on the words that you're singing and ask yourself, are they really true for you? Can you really say, "What a friend I have in Jesus"? Amen.